Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
Through the month of January, we're starting a new teaching series that we actually kind of soft launched last week and on Christmas Eve called When Life Ends Up in Unexpected Places. We all are probably at a different place at the beginning of 2020 than we thought we were going to be, and probably by the end of 2020, we'll even be at a different place than we think we're going to be. There's things that happen in life, and we end up in unexpected places. And we're going to spend some time thinking about how we respond and how God calls us faithfully to respond whenever we end up in these places. And today, we're going to look at a story from Scripture that gives us one example of how one biblical character responds to the unexpected. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 45. We're going to read verses 1 through 5, and you can also follow along on the screen. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with them when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer, and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. It is given to us in love. Please join me in prayer. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be pleasing, may they be acceptable in your sight. God, our great rock, God, our Redeemer. Amen. So I think it's fair to say that Joseph's life ended up quite a bit differently than I think he expected. We catch the end of his story with his brothers, so we have to back up a little bit to understand how he got here. Joseph is the 11th of 12 brothers, and importantly, he is the favorite in his family. His father lavishes him with gifts and honor. He gives them this wonderful coat of many colors. Perhaps that's how you recognize Joseph's name first and foremost. And you know, his brothers can deal with that for a while. They can deal with him being the favorite. But eventually Joseph starts having these dreams of grandeur, these dreams that show that his brothers, even his father, will eventually come and bow down and give him and basically bow down before Joseph as their leader. And this did not sit well with his brothers, as you could imagine. And one day, while his brothers are out in the fields, keeping watch over flocks, Joseph is sent by his father to go check in on them, like the favorite son does, right? He's not out working. He gets to go check in on the brothers who are doing the work. And his brothers see him coming from a distance, and they concoct a scheme. They say, "This is perfect. We're out here in this wilderness. We could kill Joseph, put some blood on his coat, take it back, and say, 'Look, a wild animal has killed your son, father, and he died.'" Well, that was their plan, but the oldest Reuben intervenes and says, "No, let's not kill him. Let's throw him in a pit, and I'll come back and get him later." So they go with Reuben's plan. They throw Joseph down into this pit. But then they see this caravan go by and they think, "No, we have a better idea. Let's sell Joseph as a slave to this caravan. We'll make a little bit of money off of it and we'll never see our brother again." Perfect setup. So Joseph goes out, is thrown into a pit, taken out of the pit, and then sold as a slave to Egypt. I can't imagine what Joseph is thinking right now and what he's thinking about his brothers nonetheless. He's sold to Potiphar, the captain of Pharaoh's guard. And very quickly, Joseph shows himself very capable and rises in rank among the slaves and becomes in charge of the house. He does this until he was falsely accused of impropriety by Potiphar's wife, who then had him thrown into prison. So first off, Joseph was a slave. Then Joseph is thrown into prison. In prison, he again rises in respect among his fellow prisoners, shows an ability to interpret dreams, and through this ability, Pharaoh learns about his talents. He interprets one of Pharaoh's dreams about there being 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine, and Pharaoh says, we need this Joseph guy to come and to be in charge of all of our food stores. So Joseph has quite an interesting life to this point, and he is now basically the second in command to Pharaoh, when who should show up asking for food but his brothers? Man, I cannot imagine what's going through Joseph's mind in this moment, right? His brothers who sold him into slavery, who ultimately had him thrown, ended up him being thrown in prison, his brothers show up. And we find in our text today the end of this story where Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. Yet Joseph found himself in an unexpected place because of the actions of others. Sometimes we end up in unexpected places because of things totally outside our control, because of the actions of others. We end up there because of a boss who made a decision. We end up somewhere because maybe corporate moved you to a different city and you had to deal with it. We end up in these places because that person was texting while driving and caused that accident. And there's a lot of times where we end up in these unexpected places where we probably end up with places of anger and resentment and hurt. I cannot imagine what Joseph felt as he saw his brothers walk in that day. His brothers who sold him, his brothers who despised him. I wonder if he ever thought he would see them again. I wonder if he ever even wanted to. Yet, when Joseph found himself in that unexpected place, he chose forgiveness instead of retaliation. Joseph chose to frame his story through the lens of God's work in his life, through the lens of grace and forgiveness instead of anger and resentment. Joseph could have responded in so many ways to his brothers. He had the power to destroy him if he had wanted to. When we end up in unexpected places because of someone else's actions, we have to be ready to forgive. Forgiveness is central to what it means to be a Christian, but perhaps, let's be honest, is one of the hardest things we do as people, isn't it? We read in Jesus, we are made whole and complete people. We are forgiven over and over and over again whenever we do harm. But as C.S. Lewis puts it, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. Yet we all know that extending that forgiveness to others can just be so difficult, especially when we are hurt by those who are closest to us. And friends, as we go into this year, there's going to be lots of opportunities to practice forgiveness. We don't want to believe that's true, but it is. We'll be hurt. We'll end up in those unexpected places, and we'll need to practice forgiveness. So we're going to spend a little bit of time today thinking about how do we begin to think about forgiveness, and how can we be ready to practice forgiveness whenever we end up in that unexpected place. And the first thing we have to remember is forgiveness is not something that we all intuitively or naturally know how to do. It's not like built into our DNA that we forgive people. Actually, what's more normal is that we retaliate, right? It's eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth kind of thing. Someone hurt me, so I hurt them back. That's the default. So the first thing we have to remember is that forgiveness is something we have to learn how to do. It's not something that we just know how to do by ourselves. It's a discipline that is only made possible by the grace of God at work within our lives. And it's not some like heroic act of the will. Well, if you just tried harder, then you could forgive someone. That's not how forgiveness works. We get better at forgiveness by doing it. When we can learn to forgive in the small things, we can begin to learn and forgive in some of the bigger things. It's a practice that we take again and again on a daily basis until it becomes part of who we are, until it shapes our heart. Because forgiveness is ultimately about the state of our heart. Withholding forgiveness is more dangerous to us than to the other person. Withholding forgiveness leads to anger and resentment, which can consume us. It has been said that anger is the acid that can harm the vessel in which it is stored, even more than the person on whom it is poured. How easily anger can consume us. Whenever that person hurts us, we think and we scheme and we think, how am I going to get back at this person? How am I going to hurt this person? And we dwell on the situation. Even if we're completely powerless about it, it can lead to this moment of consuming our feelings and our thoughts. And what's interesting is anger can even give us a sense of purpose. I love the movie The Princess Bride. Anybody like The Princess Bride? My name is Indigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die, right? And Indigo Montoya kills the six-fingered man, right? He comes and he gets his revenge. And I always find it really interesting at the end of this movie. Everyone's getting their happy ending, and he's asked, well, what are you going to do next? And he says, I don't know. I've spent my whole life seeking revenge. I don't know what I'm going to do next. Seeking the justice of his father's death had completely consumed his life. It had given it purpose and meaning, sure, but had it given it joy? Had it given it love and peace? No. And he comes to the end and he's like, I don't know what I'm going to do now. See, when we don't forgive, it can consume us. It can take all of our energy just to hold on to that resentment and anger that's eating us up inside. And as we choose forgiveness, as we maybe make that step toward releasing some of that anger and resentment, we also have to remember that forgiveness isn't always a one-time thing over a given situation. Forgiveness can be a lifelong process. When someone has wronged you deeply, there may be days where you can easily step back and say, yes, I forgive this person. I do. I can forgive the drunk driver who killed my friend until you get to the anniversary of your friend's birthday. And then it all comes back up, right? And you have to go through that process of forgiveness and release once more. It's an incredibly hard thing to do. When we look at the life of Jesus, there's this famous story where Peter asks Jesus, Jesus, how many times must I forgive whenever someone does me wrong? Maybe seven times. I feel like seven times is pretty generous, you know. Seven whole times I'm going to forgive them. And Jesus responds, well, not seven times, but 70 times seven, which has led some to say you should forgive because it's easier than math. Math is hard. The point being, forgiveness is not a one-time transactional thing. Well, I forgave this person, so I'm done. No, it's a process. It's a state of your heart. And there's going to be days as we try to work through forgiveness where that hook of resentment's going to come back in. And we'll have to take a moment and release it. We'll have to take a moment and ask for the grace of God to work within our lives once more to release that feeling and let it go. And there is going to be days and situations where you probably can't forgive at the moment, or at least not without the grace of God helping you. Joseph forgave his brothers years and years later, after they had harmed him, so far into the future that they didn't even recognize who Joseph was. I wonder how many times he played in his head what he would do to his brothers when he met them. See, Joseph had time to process and think through the ways that God was using his unexpected situation. And I wonder how many times it took him to be able to reframe his situation through the lens of God working in his life. But I don't think that meant he didn't have rough days sitting in prison or being a slave where he thought about all of the things he would want to do to his brothers who got him in this situation. See, forgiveness is when we choose to let go of the past and look to the future. Because holding on to resentment and anger is ultimately a past-focused thing. It's looking back to a situation, and it blinds us and keeps us from being able to look into the future God has for us. But to do this does not mean forgetting. We don't forgive and forget. Well, one cannot forgive that which is forgotten. No, forgiveness involves telling each other the painful truth, not to hold something over the other person, but to find a way forward that breaks the cycle of an eye for an eye violence. That eye for an eye violence that we so often find ourselves trapped in. Forgiveness is not about becoming a doormat and relishing the role of victim. It's about being victorious and freed from the horrible things that others might have done to you. Which is why it's important to remember that forgiveness is also not reconciliation. It's really easy to conflate those two things, that to forgive also means to then become best buds with the person who hurt you. Forgiveness doesn't even mean you need to see the other person necessarily. It surely doesn't mean that everything goes back to normal. That relationship may be done, and that is okay. See, the work of forgiveness is the work of releasing that energy and that bitterness that can build up inside of you. It's that work in your heart so that you can be freed from the past and look to a joyful future. Forgiveness does not ask us to forget the wrong, but instead to resist the ways it seeks to get those poisonous hooks back in us. Forgiveness asks us to acknowledge and reckon with the damage so that we will not live in its grip forever. It means not allowing bitterness and resentment to define us. As someone once said, bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Forgiveness is the courageous choice not to allow the wrong to define you, to be freed for a joyful future. Friends, forgiveness is hard. It is. It takes a daily commitment, and it takes a regular commitment to ask God to help us to forgive. But as we go into this new year, it is my hope that we can be a people of forgiveness, no matter where our lives may end up, no matter what unexpected place we may find ourselves in. And chances are that even today there is someone in your life who you need to forgive. Maybe who you're trying to forgive. Perhaps someone who has deeply hurt you. The kind of hurt that can't easily be repaired and you just can't let go of that anger and bitterness that it caused. Friends, wherever you are today, choose forgiveness. Make today the day you choose to move toward the light and away from that anger and hurt. No, you may not completely forgive someone today. Forgiveness may take a lifetime of striving. But today, begin to ask God to help you forgive. Because we cannot forgive without the grace of God. In a few moments, we're going to turn our hearts toward the table. The table of grace, the table where we remember the great love that God has for us. The table of forgiveness. And as we prepare our hearts for this moment, I invite you all to hear this poem. The poem by Jan Richardson, and it's called The Hardest Blessing. It's about the difficulty to forgive, but it's also about the importance of forgiveness in our lives. And as Nancy comes up to read this poem, I invite you to hear this blessing as a way to prepare to come here to the table to once again receive grace, where we're reminded of the incredible forgiveness that we have been offered in Christ.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.